Log Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Grey Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking sports live on GLC.
Music has gone too far. You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Come on, it's going to burn. You better put some hands together and act like you're going to be.
Lately, I've been going through some things that really got me down.
welcome to the GLC with Gary Norris Gray. Call in at 646-727-3649. Thank you, Black Athletes, Sports Network, and the VASNNewsroom.com for sponsoring the Gray Leopard Code. Send news and information to glcgray@gmail.com. Back to listen to the brothers on the African American Athlete Show.com with Michael Robinson and Ricky Hansen, 6 p.m. Pacific and 9 Eastern Time, Tuesday night on blogtalkradio.com. The Mighty Oba, formerly from WUFO, 1080 Buffalo, New York, will start their season in the Minor Football League with the Rochester Chargers. Also check out his SoundCloud pod every week at 11 Pacific to Eastern Time, Soul Tree Radio, and The Raw with Michael Lewis Ingram with horror political and social sports news. Sunday night, it's the musical mind stream after the music box hour. On Wednesday night, it's the political stir fry at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific time. At 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern time, Sunday night, listen to Brother Anthony Johnson on the Anthony Johnson Show, sending brotherly love over the airways and political food for the soul from the city of Philadelphia. Our sponsors, the New England Informer magazine, Doreen Ray, CEO, Boston, Massachusetts. Good news for the Black community. Young star Travis Singleton with his Kicks for Grades in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. If your kids are getting A's in school, then contact Travis on Facebook.com. Also check out his program, The Sneaker Report, as he covers the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Boston Celtics, as well as other NBA teams. Remembering Roland Rogers, CEO of VASN in New York City, and the family of VASN writers and broadcasters. Cannot forget the 707 and 609 for their support. Be a sponsor. Check in the Cove Caravan email, glcgray@gmail.com. Join the Cove Caravan and the Soul Patrol on Facebook.com. Please visit our website, www.vasnnewsroom.com. Call the Gray Leopard Code at 646-727-3649.
Thank you. All right. Welcome to the Cove. We got a busy day today. The world is turned upside down. And this is not good. Not good. Roe v. Wade overturned. Guns protected. And January 6th hearings. All at the same time. As you remember, back in 1969 to 70, say nothing hard, right now. Here we go. The roller coaster's on board. Breaking news. The Houston Astros 3, the New York Yankees 0. But the pitcher Nerez has a no-hitter going into the ninth inning, no-hitter the Yankees. 3-0, ninth inning, the Astros are up now in the ninth inning. It's 3-0. Friday Night News. Tina Charles leaves the Phoenix Suns. They signed the contract and they're leaving each other. Lakers signed the Suns of Shaquille O'Neal and Scottie Pippen for the Summer League. Last year, the Kentucky Wildcats sent five players to the NBA. the Duke Blue Devils and five players to the NBA. Money gonna go to the HBCUs. NHL, Luke Grizzly will be the Chicago Blackhawks Sporting Coach of the Decade. When the Montreal Canadiens, Game 5 last night, Andre Blatt scored a winning goal with 3 minutes left in the game. The Knights scored a 3-2 victory over the Avalanche, forcing a Game 6 in Florida. Great goaltending, over 60 shots, 20 block shots by the Knights. Major League Baseball, the Aaron Judge gets $19 million plus incentives if he gets MVP. And the Yankees settle with the outfielder, get Jay Verlander, and the Houston Astros beat the Yankees 3-1. And they knocked a 15-game winning streak at home. 3-run homer in the 8th inning by Tucker. And the Astros win 3-1. The Mets beat the Fish in Miami, y'all. 5-3 as Francisco Lindor played 4 home runs and a 3-run double. Dodgers win the first game in the Atlanta Dodgers series 4-1. That's going to be a good series this weekend. Fox Sports later on today. Zach Greinke and the Royals beat the Astros A's 3-1, continuing the A's disaster. The A's are 3-16 for the month of June. Santana had a 3-run double for the Royals. The Padres and Phillies went 1-0, and it was very interesting. An older brother beat younger brother. Austin Nola gets game winning hit over brother Aaron Nola. San Diego beats Philadelphia 1-0. Today's game, Mets at Marlins, Houston at the stadium. As we go into the 9th inning, right now, 9th inning, no hitter going. With Anthony Rizzo up. John Donaldson got a second. And then Carlos Stanton, 1, 2, and 3 in the 9th inning, two up. NBA, congratulations to Golden State Warriors on the 7th title in 8 years. Well, 4 or 8 years. As Mr. Curry says, what are they going to say now? Night-night, Boston. See you next year. Steve Clifford returns to the Charlotte Hornets to be head coach of the Hornets after head coach went back to the Golden State Warriors. NCAA, on the march on the general anesthesia hotline. It's stars 10, generals 0. Excuse me, the generals of March Battlefield are on the 9-yard line of stars. First and 10. In the second period. Alright, WNBA, last night the Liberty defeated the Atlanta Dream with Sabrina Ionescu, 21 points, 10 rebounds, double-double, 89 is a victory, and Curry used it today in the fourth quarter, cute. WTA. It's a Wimbledon qualification round. Tuesday will be the first round of Wimbledon. I expect to see Coco Gauff, Madison Keys, Serena Williams to do well in this Wimbledon 100 years. 100 years of Wimbledon. Alright, we'll take a break, come back in a second. Take a break. Come back in a second with, other news.
Healing in the blood.
I breathe, I breathe the blood.
Yes, sir. That's where we are today. It means war. Bulletin. It's one strike, two balls, two outs, ninth inning, closed end. That's over the Yankees. Game is over. The Houston Astros have no hit. The New York Yankees, 3-0. Congratulations to the Astros. No hit Yankees, 3-0. Game just ended. Let me go through the news of the week and then we get back to what I was going to do. News of the week, Brooklyn Nets, Gary Herbert and the Brooklyn Nets are in pass for next season. What is Kevin Durant going to do? He needs to go with Big Water because it wasn't his team. Well, guess what? Now he got a team and nobody to play with it. Monday, Fina will get a new division for transgender athletes for international organizations. Rules last Sunday that transgender athletes can no longer compete against females unless they undergo their transition before the age of 12. Even then, they had to submit to testosterone testing. On Tuesday, Cleveland Brown quarterback Deshaun Watson settled 20 out of 24 accusers of alleged sexual misconduct lawsuits. We ain't gonna do it either before. Hey, this has been dragged out for almost a year and a half. 2 years. The NFL probably will suspend him for another year. PGA loses another player as Kepka joins the Louvre Tour. Gronkowski retired after 11 seasons and 4 rings. Toronto Maple Leafs, Austin Matthews gets our trophy, MVP for 2021-22. Matthew also gets the Lindsay Cup voted by the players. Wednesday, Congress defeated Snyder. And if he did not want to come to the hearings, he will be subpoenaed. The Florida Panthers make another move, replacing Andrew Bouquet for Paul Maurice after having the best record in the NHL. The Washington Nationals retire number 11, Ryan Zimmerman number. In the Ring of Hall of Fame with the Washington Nationals. In the American League, Aaron Judge leads the All-Stars, American All-Stars, while Mookie Betts leads the National All-Stars. Hello, what does that say about black players in Major League Baseball? Major League Baseball, please. Put that third jersey away. It looks silly. They would look silly like the Giants. City uniforms are silly. It is outright goofy. I'm going to skip the award, NHL awards. There's so many of them. I'll get back to them later. On Thursday, Archie Manning, the grandson of Archie Manning, will come in to Texas as the Longhorns will move to the SEC. The remaining SEC era will continue with Arch Manning. Steelers signed QB Diggins. His son's name, Mogadgato, assistant general manager and vice president of basketball operations. The first lady of color in this position. Hugh McElhaney, the great football star of the New York Football Giants and the San Francisco 49ers, passes away at 93 years old. Friday, Yankees and Giants come to agreement for arbitration. NBA, no surprise, number one round, Kyrie for the Nets. In pro again. And Brooklyn is a complete mess. Warriors pick 28th in the draft. Patrick Baldwin Jr., 6'3", guard. Forward center. From Milwaukee, Wisconsin. NBA number one pick, Orlando Magic pick, Vachero with the great purple suit. And I will go down the list of draft picks later on in the show. Of course, the New York Knicks do their thing. They beat number 11 and traded the OKC for future picks in typical New York. They will never get a seller if they keep running their program. Let me see if I get anybody on the air. No, all right. We will go on to the last part here. LPGA. It's Drop Rock Classic. In my home state, New Jersey, Brooke Henderson beat America Lindsey Wright. This week, they're missing it for the very classic of Belmont. BGA last week was the U.S. Open, and Englishman by Patrick wins Scottie Shepherd and Will Zatoris. Drive for second. This week is the Travelers Cup in Cornwall, Connecticut. Next week is the John Deere Classic in Silvers, Illinois. July 7th through 10th will be a Barbasol Championship in Kentucky and the Guinness Scottish Open in Canada. WTA, we all told you, it's the Wimbledon and Naomi Osaka's already out. Nice card, they were off last week. Then we did the Alley 400 in Nashville, Tennessee. Next week, IndyCar race is Indy 200 at Mid-Ohio. Next week. Last week in the Canadian Grand Prix and the Formula One. Red Bull continues to dominate the Tour in 2022. Max Verstappen I'll go to Dallas. What have we learned about the January 6th uprising or rebellion or insurrection, whatever you want to call it? We learned that the 45th President of the United States directed this call. You have people in the Senate who follow the lead, even opening the doors for some of the rebellious people. Then, after the fact, they want to get pardons. This was the closest thing to the threat of our democracy. Now we have a Supreme Court that has gone rogue and allows guns to run freely over the country and now overturn the first time. This is the first time in American history where a Supreme Court has taken away a right. Let me do that again. This is the first time in American history that the Supreme Court has taken away a right. And Justice Dildo Clarence Thomas already gave a warning to all my gay and lesbian friends. You are next with the gay rights marriage. It's already laid on the table. And with the six conservative judges, I would not doubt if I repeal that too. And if we keep walking down this street, disabled rights is next. You think I'm joking as you watch. This is the mindset of a conservative American. We are in a very dangerous situation. The young people are daydreaming. American ladies, here's a history lesson. About 30 years ago in Italy, the Italian government tried to pull the same thing that Americans do right now. The Italian lady said, okay, you want to do this? We're not going to give you any sex at all. No sex, period. You want to play around? Okay. I bet you one day it lasted 1 month, and that law was repealed in a month. The same thing you have here, if you ladies would get together and say, all right, enough. Now, those ladies who voted for Donald Trump, shame on you, because you knew what you were getting. Don't complain, because you won't for this fool. I'm just saying, I would not put it past the American woman to do what the Italian lady did. It would be great, because it would put the hierarchy in check. Alright, let's see how we got here.
This time this month, the Congressional Committee investigating the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol presented evidence of the relentless effort by former President Trump and his allies to throw out the results of the 2020 election.
The focus of today's hearing was the pressure President Trump, former President Trump, exerted on state legislators and state and local election officials because of the former president's repeated lies. Congressman Adam Schiff said that election workers face threats for simply doing their jobs.
The president's lie was and is a dangerous cancer on the body politic. If you can convince Americans that they cannot trust their own elections, that any time they lose it is somehow illegitimate, then what is left for violence to determine who should govern?
Those threats were made repeatedly over the phone, in person, and even at the homes of the election workers. The witnesses shared story after story about how the sustained intimidation has completely upended their lives.
At home, up to even recently, it is the new pattern or a pattern in our lives to worry what will happen on Saturdays, because we have various groups come by and they have had video panel trucks with videos of me proclaiming me to be a pedophile and a pervert and a corrupt and politician and blaring loudspeakers in my neighborhood. Some people broke into my daughter-in-law's home, and my son has passed and she's a widow. And has two kids, and so we're very concerned about her safety also.
That's it. Don't do nothing anymore. I don't want to go anywhere. I second guess everything that I do. It's affecting my life in a major way. In every way. All because of lies. For me doing my job. Same thing I've been doing forever.
The NewsHour's congressional correspondent Lisa Desjardins and our White House correspondent Laura Barron-Lopez have been watching the hearing today, and they join me now. So much of today's testimony was moving, as we just heard. Laura, I want to begin with you. The witness we just heard from, he is the Speaker of the House in the state of Arizona, Rusty Bowers. This is a state that Joe Biden won by, 10,000 votes, and yet Speaker Bowers testified to the kind of relentless pressure he was put under. Tell us more about that.
That's right, Judy. He faced pressure from President Trump, and he faced pressure from Trump's lawyers. And specifically, Bowers recounted a conversation that he had with one of Trump's lawyers, John Eastman. And in that conversation, Eastman asked Bowers to call a vote in the Arizona legislature so that way they could decertify the state's electors, and those electors represent that state's electoral college vote. Here's what Bowers said in response to Eastman's request.
I said, what would you have me do? He said, just do it and let the court sort it out. And I said, you're asking me to do something that's never been done in the history of the United States, and I'm going to put my state through that without sufficient proof, and that's going to be good enough for me, that I would put us through that, my state, that I swore to uphold both in Constitution and in law? No, sir.
So Bowers also told the committee that he faced pressure from Trump and that he repeatedly told Trump that he would not do anything illegal to overturn the election results in his state. Even to this day, Bowers is facing a target on his back from the former president, because President Trump put out a statement ahead of the hearing today saying that Bowers is a rhino, a Republican in name only. Trump also said that Bowers told him that he won the election right after November 2020, and that Bowers said that the election was rigged. Now, Congressman Schiff asked Bowers about that in his testimony today, and Bowers said, no, all of that is false, and that he did not say any of that to the president, and that he repeated again and again in his testimony that he would never do anything illegal to overturn Arizona's election results.
We should add that Speaker Bowers described himself as a conservative Republican. To Lisa now, Lisa, we also learned today that some of this pressure campaign was coming from members of Congress themselves who were pushing election officials to accept what they called alternate slates of electors. Tell us about that.
This is the charge from the committee. In addition to this idea that Laura was talking about, that the president and those around him were pushing states to simply overturn the results and say that he won the popular count in each state, we heard testimony today that the Trump campaign was also trying to push a different idea, alternate slates of electors, that no matter what the results were in the end, the final tabulation, that they were preparing lists of people who would be the electors, and as many of our viewers know, the ones who cast the final vote in the American presidential system. And with those electors, there was a question of who was behind this idea. At one point, President Trump, we heard testimony today, got a phone call together with the chairwoman of the Republican National Committee, top Republican Party official in the country, and John Eastman, that lawyer we've heard so much about. And here's how McDaniel, again, top Republican official in the country, recounts that conversation about slates of electors.
What did the president say when he called you?
Essentially, he turned the call over to Mr. Eastman, who then proceeded to talk about the importance of the RNC helping the campaign gather these contingent electors in case any of the legal challenges that were ongoing changed the result of any of the states. I think more just helping them reach out and assemble them. But my understanding is the campaign did take the lead, and we just were helping them in that role.
That's the key portion, that the campaign took the lead. The timing there matters, Judy, and we're asking about the timing of that call. Was it when all of the court cases had already ended and it was clear the president had lost? In that case, this raises sort of criminal questions about fraud and election fraud. Was it beforehand? Those are important questions about this sort of idea. But let's talk about those two members of Congress that came up today in the hearing. One, Representative Andy Biggs of Arizona. He is someone who did ask, we heard in testimony today, the state speaker to try and change the results or overturn the results, bring in new electors, create electors. And then Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, the testimony today, we saw this in text messages, was that on January 6th itself, that one of his aides reached out to Vice President Pence's staff and said he wanted to, the senator wanted to hand him a slate of alternate electors on January 6th. Ron Johnson's office today says he didn't know about that ahead of time. But there is a real question. If on January 6th itself, Ron Johnson was still trying to bring in a slate of electors that was not what his state decided.
Still some unanswered questions there. And Lisa, staying with you, the focus, so much of the focus today was on these state and local election officials. Tell us more about what we heard from this committee in terms of White House officials themselves pressuring local election people.
In particular, two women from Fulton County, these are the two women who were seen in video, moving absentee ballots late at night. The Trump campaign for months said that those were secret suitcases of ballots. We know that's not true. It was regular election procedure. You heard from Shea Moss earlier. Her mother, Ruby Freeman, also testified about the barrage of threats that came emanating from her name being used by the Trump campaign, including people knocking on her door. At one point, the FBI saying she had to move because the threats to her life and property were so serious. Here's what she told the committee in recorded testimony this has meant and done to her.
There is nowhere I feel safe. Nowhere. Do you know how it feels to have the President of the United States to target you? The President of the United States is supposed to represent every American, not to target one. But he targeted me, Lady Ruby, a small business owner, a mother, a proud American citizen who stand up to help Fulton County run an election in the middle of the pandemic.
Judy, I want to show you some quick statistics. She represents thousands of election workers across this country. And look at what's happened since 2020. Election officials experiencing threats, 1 in 6. And election officials who plan to quit by 2024, look at that, 1 in 5. This is something that is not one person, but that might have been an extreme version of it. Many election officials feeling personal harm and professional harm in the last election.
Yeah, those numbers are just absolutely stunning. And finally, back to you, Laura. We did hear today, as we've reported, from the top two election officials in the state of Georgia, the Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, and also the official who works with him closely, Gabriel Sterling. We already knew about the phone call that President Trump had placed and spent over an hour pressuring Raffensperger. What else did we learn today about the pressure he put on them?
Yeah, there were two things that stood out today, Judy. One, Sterling in his testimony said that the onslaught of disinformation and conspiracy theories pushed by President Trump, if he and his team tried to fight it, it was like, quote, shoveling out the ocean, trying to clear out the ocean with a shovel. And then the second thing was the specificity of Raffensperger's testimony. He went into specific details about everything that he investigated, saying he investigated every element of the allegations that Trump's team brought to him.
They said that there was over 66,000 underage voters. We found that there's actually zero. They said that there was 2,423 non-registered voters. There was zero. They said that there was 2,056 felons. We identified less than 74 or less that were actually still on felony sentence. Every single allegation we checked, we ran down the rabbit trail to make sure that our numbers were accurate.
So Raffensperger, you mentioned, Judy, he details all of the stuff about the allegations that Trump brought to him and how they were all false. He also talked about that phone call that Trump made to him, pressuring him to find more than 11,000 votes. Now, that phone call, a lot of election law experts think, is enough to bring criminal charges against the president and his allies. Now, the committee today brought up the illegality of what we witnessed on January 6th and the lead up to it, and they kept saying over and over again that the Justice Department needs to be paying attention to what they are presenting. But it's not just the Justice Department that could bring criminal charges. The Fulton County DA in Georgia could very well bring charges herself against the president and against his allies. Right now, there is a grand jury investigation going on, which she is overseeing, and they also heard testimony from Raffensperger earlier this month. So that just speaks to the fact that it's not just the Justice Department, but that in Georgia, they could also bring charges against the president as we look forward to what potentially the ramifications could be.
We had a very, very full day of testimony. I want to thank you both, Laura Barone-Lopez, covering all this, from the White House, Lisa Desjardins at the Capitol. Thank you.
And you asked Trump followers about these very questions, and they, oh, no, that's it. No, they're making it up. No, no. Stop it. You need to face reality. Trump needs to be in jail. A couple of governors need to be in jail. A couple of election officers need to be in jail for assisting this. Is a complete mess. And America knows it and trying to pass it on. No, no, this is not working. And then you go on to the Supreme Court, and then, gentlemen, when President Obama nominated a Supreme Court justice, what did Mitch McConnell do? That's right, you can't do it because you can't really get like this, re-election. And right around the corner, they did the same thing that 4 years later, we had two conservative judges because they turned around and changed the rules to fit their purpose. Now, guess what? We have Roe v. Wade overturned. You surprised? Are you shocked? not going to happen. I'm not. This is the way America has run for 400 years. It's just more sophisticated now. Same MO. Same method. Different style, so. Let's go Roe v. Wade. Roe v. Wade. Let's get that look in the air.
The Supreme Court has overturned Roe v. Wade, the 1973 decision that established a constitutional right to an abortion in the U.S. Now, decisions on the legality of abortion are left to the states.
This is going to mean that access to abortion will vary dramatically depending on where you live.
While 16 states and the District of Columbia have laws that protect the right to an abortion, 22 states have laws that could ban all or most abortions now that Roe has been reversed, according to the Guttmacher Institute, a policy group that supports abortion rights and tracks national abortion statistics. The organization details a patchwork of laws among these states, including pre-Roe bans, trigger laws, and post-Roe restrictions that will determine the fate of abortion access in the U.S. 9 states have bans on their books that predate Roe v. Wade, which have been unenforceable for the past 5 decades.
Some of them date back to the late 1800s or early 1900s. These could be laws that could be enforced after this decision or as a result of this decision.
States like Arkansas can now revise their pre-Roe bans through official enforcement or by filing court actions. However, not all states with pre-Roe bans are poised to enforce the law. Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer and abortion rights groups have filed lawsuits to block the state's 1931 law that makes providing an abortion at any point during pregnancy a felony. A Michigan judge, through a preliminary injunction, said the state can't enforce it.
Whereas others in states like Arizona, for example, I know lawmakers there are anticipating that they could enforce their own pre-Roe ban on abortion.
13 states have passed so-called trigger laws on the conditions they would go into effect if the Supreme Court rescinded the constitutional right to abortion.
However, each of these laws are quite different from the other one.
And they can take effect at different times. In Kentucky, Louisiana, and South Dakota, the laws are enforceable immediately. But in Texas, Idaho, and Tennessee, there's a 30-day buffer period between Roe's reversal and when the laws go into effect. In some states, trigger laws can only be implemented after state government officials, such as attorneys general or governors, certify the High Court's decision. Some states, including Georgia and Alabama, have sought to set stricter limits on when abortions can be performed during pregnancy. Georgia's ban on abortion around when cardiac activity can be detected, and Alabama's near-total ban, have previously been blocked in court because they conflicted with limits set by Roe.
Now the elimination of these federal protections for the procedure and the reversal of the Supreme Court precedent means that it's possible they can be resurrected in some way.
Some states don't have these specific restrictions or protections for abortion currently on the books, and it remains to be seen what actions they will take in the future. Meanwhile, abortion clinics in more liberal states have been preparing for an influx of patients.
They are expanding their hours, adding more staff, adding more days that they are available to accommodate what they expect to be even more patients coming in.
Abortion providers in more restrictive states are also assessing how to support patients who will need to travel outside of the state for the procedure.
Planning and figuring out how they will navigate this different and varying access to abortion across this country will be something that I'm sure will take some time to really nail down and figure out.
And this is where we are right now. California is fighting it. And then you have the third issue is gun control. You allow gun control, but you allow abortions. What kind of nonsense are you doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? So you are am I off to make commentary about? Because this is asinine. Okay, I'm going to go through the NHL awards and the NBA draft, and we'll call it a day. The NHL awards, Igor Shesterkin won the Vezina Award. I knew he got the New York Rangers. Mark Zander, Detroit Red Wings. When the Calder Cup Rookie of the Year, the Red Wings are rebuilding. And Cedar is one of the stars and the new stars in the National Hockey League. Rookie of the Year. Congratulations. Best defenseman in my trophy, the Norris Trophy. Makar of the Colorado Avalanche gets the Norris Trophy. The best defenseman. The Art Ross Trophy goes to Emmy Dillinger Carter McDavid. The Richard Trophy goes to Austin Matthews, the most goals. The Selke, the best defenseman, goes to Peter Bergeron of the Boston Bruins. The Masterson Sportsman Player goes to Carey Price, Montreal Canadiens. Lady Bane Trophy goes to Kyle Connor of the Winnipeg Jets. The Jennings Trophy, the fewest goals in a season, goes to the Carolina Hurricanes. Rhonda Anderson. The Clancy Trophy goes to P.K. Subban, New Jersey Devils. Adams Award, Dallas Thunder, Calgary Flames. The Messier Award, Leadership, Anthony Kopitar, Los Angeles Kings. And the Willie O'Ree Award goes to No Action of the Baltimore minor league club, Building Inclusive Communities, the Willie O'Ree Award. And I go back to the NBA draft, the top 10 players in the draft. Magic Bucero of Duke. Thunder, Big Gonzaga's center, Ogram. Rockets, Big Jabari Smith. I like Jabari Smith. I really do. I think he's going to be a good NBA player. The Kings, Jake. Keegan Murray from Iowa. The Pistons get Jane Ivory from Purdue. The Pacers number 6 get Manny Mature from Arizona. The Blazers get Jaden Sharp from Kentucky. The Pelicans pick Nathan Daniels from the European League. The Spurs beat Jeremy the guard, my brother. And the Wizards get Johnny Davis from Wisconsin. And of course, you know, the 11th pick, the Knicks straight away to OKC. All right, I gotta get some scores and we're out of here. Some final scores, get some scores. And we're gonna go. It's Milwaukee 4-0 in the second. I was thinking,